cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace is so free and sufficient for me, and deep is the fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. And through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Amen. And that's what we're telling people in Bartow. A lot of people said when we moved to Bartow and started a church there that there's already 65 churches in Bartow. Why you need another church? Well, I guess we wouldn't if the rest of them were doing what they're supposed to do. But anyway, that was pretty much my question when the Lord called Sharon and I to go to Kansas City. I mean, do you know how many Baptist churches or so-called Baptist churches there are in Kansas City, Missouri? You have the Southern Baptist Theological, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary about 6 miles from where we started our church. And we had people telling, oh, we don't need another Baptist church. But you know what I was hearing? The Lord was saying, this is what I want you to do, Brian. And you know what we did? Started a church. And a strong church. 8 years later, that church is still winning souls and still getting people saved and calling people into the ministry and making a difference. And Brother Magus out there is doing a great job. Lord called us back to Polk County, and within 2 months, actually within a few weeks, I heard about a church that had been started in Bartow and stopped holding services. And I didn't even know anything about the church plant because we were in Missouri the whole time. Started in 2010. We went out there in 2009. This church in Bartow started in 2010. And stopped in 2012. But the Lord gave, you know, it's neat to watch the Lord work. And I like what I heard, I've heard a number of preachers say, a coincidence is only those times when the Lord decides to remain anonymous. Amen? But I got to looking at when that church closed its doors, the church in Bartow that was started, and it happened to stop on the very day that we had our first candidate in Missouri to take my place. The day. That's not a coincidence. That's God showing me, hey, I was in this all along. I want you to know that we've been out there, we've been knocking doors, we've been passing out tracts, we've passed out probably about 25,000 chick tracts. We've got a friend of mine in Lakeland who provided us for about 50,000 chick tracts in Missouri, and he's provided all of them for us that we can use in Bartow, and we go crazy with them, amen. We're getting ready to give out. We had a group of people at church this past Saturday, and we put together 910 goodie bags with Ziploc bags with several pieces of candy in it, a little Christmas card, and a chick track in it. We're going to pass them out at the Christmas parade this Friday evening there in Bartow. We've been doing that for the last 5 years. This will be our fifth year. We've been doing all kinds of things. We've been seeing some people saved. We haven't, the hard part for us is the fact that we haven't seen the numbers in church, in services, but we have people come on Sunday morning that don't come Sunday night. We have people come Sunday night, don't come on Wednesday night. And you guys know how that is. There are people, if they come on Wednesday night, you'll get to think they're visitors, right? But the truth is, we're making a difference. And God's been, we've seen probably a couple hundred saved since we've been knocking doors there. We've had services for backyard Bible clubs. We've had gone to the rec center a number of times, the nursing home from time to time. And we've seen a lot of people saved. Most of them children and teenagers. We're sowing a harvest that's going to be planting churches, maybe college students. I'm hoping we have some college students here from what we've done in Bartow. But the key is the Lord's just doing something amazing. He's bringing people to us. Number of the things that have happened in the 5 years within the, when Sharon and I came back from Missouri, we hadn't seen our grandsons in about a year and a half. They were in North Carolina and we were in Missouri. And so we got to watch our grandsons for about 6 weeks during the summer when we started the church. We started the church on Sunday and picked them up on Thursday. And they were with us for about 6 weeks. And they were passing out bulletins. They were knocking doors with me. They were my soul winning partners. I had my youngest grandson with me one time. And we were knocking doors and and I've told this before, but I want you to understand, some of you might not have heard it, but we were knocking doors. We came across four boys in a front yard there in Bartow, and so I shared the gospel with the boys. They were between 8 and 14, I guess, 12, 14, and every one of them wanted to get saved. They'd never heard the gospel before. You say, not in America. Well, yeah, absolutely. And they wanted to get saved. So I shared the gospel with them. I gave them a chance to pray, led them through the sinner's prayer, told them, you've got to mean what you say. You can't play games with God when you pray. You're just going to make him mad. Nothing good's going to happen when you do that. But all four of the boys got saved. They bowed their head. They prayed. I had them raise their hand if they got saved. All four of those boys got saved. My grandson raised his hand. He got saved at the same time. I'm going to tell you something. That if the Lord didn't save anybody else, to me it's been worth it being in Bartow just for that. But I've also got some church members. The very first person I ever led to Christ about 30 years ago when I was working at the phosphate mines. Where? In Bartow. I worked there for 26 years before I came to Landmark Baptist College as a student, full-time student in my 40s. But I led a friend of mine. Boy, I grew up with Gary, and he and I were working together one day, and Like the news is, every time you turn it on, like preacher's saying, something bad's going to happen. You're going to listen to it, and it'll shake you up for a while. Well, it shook Gary up for a while, whatever was on the news that day. And I'd been witnessing to him. I said, Gary, why don't you get saved? He said, let's do it. Well, here we are at work. So we walk into a tin shed, our paint storage building, kneel down at a paint can altar, and Gary gets saved. Amen. Then, that was on a Tuesday, I think it was, Monday or Tuesday. The following week, I went over to his house and led his wife to Christ. Amen. And they got saved. Well, guess what? Gary and Ramona are members of our church today. Amen. Only God can do that. I'm going to tell you, I've got a member from driving the bus. I know some of these preachers, they feel bad for me sometimes that I got to work a full-time job. But in a way, sometimes I kind of feel sorry for them because I meet more lost people than they do. I get a chance to share the gospel. I get to preach to lost people. People that would never darken the doors of a church. But boy, they get on that bus. I want to tell you, God's got me where he wants me. We've got a bus driver that just got saved just a couple months ago. She came to church. I want to tell you, it's all about whatever the Lord calls you to do. Just do the best you can. He knows who you are. He knows what you've got. He's made you. He knows everything about us, and he still loves us. Can you believe that? It's amazing. If you would turn your Bible to Luke chapter 1, I want to share a truth here with you. Luke chapter 1, and it's a familiar story, I think. A man named Zacharias. And I think I'm going to start here in verse 8. Let's stand in honor of the word of God. We're just going to read a few verses here. But I want to point out something to you that I believe is a picture of the New Testament church right here in this passage. Verse 8. Luke chapter 1, beginning with that verse, it says, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office," talking about Zacharias, "before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, for thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed place. I thank you for the fact that it was built on your blessed book. And Lord, I thank you for all the preachers and the preaching that's come out of this church and gone in so many places. And Lord, we just ask you to meet with us today. Lord, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your power. Lord, it's not by our power. It's all by you. And Lord, we ask you to keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. And let us hear clearly what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you're familiar with the story, I want to share just a couple points here in the fact that Zacharias can represent you and I sometimes in the fact that he probably knew his scripture pretty well. He was a priest, right? But God had a message for Zacharias. But where did he have to go to get the message? The temple. I want to tell you something. You and I do ourselves a great, great disservice when we aren't faithful to the house of God. God's got something specifically for every person here tonight. Now, whether you get it or not, that's your call. But he's got something for you. And I want you to understand, Zacharias, where did he have to go? He had to go to the temple. Do you know in that day and time there were other temples there? They probably had a temple for Zeus. They might have had a temple for Diana. They had all kinds of false gods in his day and time. But you know where he went? He went to the house of God. Amen. The true God. And I want you to know, hey, there are a lot of people, you know them, I know them, and some of us have been those people. Tried this church and that church and been here and there and heard this person and preach and that person preach. I want to tell you, it's all about being in the right place. You've got to be in the house of God with the man of God who's preaching out of the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's all about him. Zacharias could have gone somewhere else. But you know what would have happened? Had he gone somewhere else, he wouldn't have got God's message. You're not going to get God's message unless you're in God's house. You'll get somebody else's message. By the way, you say, well, we won't ever hear from an angel. Hold your place there and go to Revelation chapter 1. Preacher knows where I'm going, because he taught it to me. If you've never taken preacher's revelation class, you need to. I took it a couple times, amen. Every time he preached on revelation, I heard him. I'll give y'all a hint. One time I heard that he was going to be preaching in the Spanish chapel, and I had a free hour. And I said, I know he doesn't speak Spanish, so I'm going to get it before they do, amen. And I broke in there, preacher. I was sitting in the back. But anyway, look at verse 20, Revelation chapter 1. Now, you do know that this is Jesus that's talking to John. And it says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, don't get upset with me when I call your preacher an angel, okay? I know he might not always act that way, but neither do I. But the truth is, the word angel simply means a messenger, okay? If you look up the meaning of the term angel, it means a messenger. You know how many angels there are in the world today? Some of them are preaching it right. And then there's those other guys. You do know that Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says the lake of fire was prepared for who? The devil and his angels. You realize that the devil's got preachers too? That's right. How do you know which church you're going to? You better have the right Bible. You better have the Holy Spirit's discernment inside of you. And it's up to us to try to help the people we love that are being sucked into these false churches, being preached these false gospels. But what do you do if there's a place like Bartow where there isn't a real church? You say there's no real churches there? Let's put it this way. For the last 4.5 years, we've been knocking on doors. The only groups we've run into are the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and one time we ran into the Church of Christ. I take that back. We did run into some Hispanic Baptists once or twice. They have an advantage on us because they can speak that Spanish language, then we can't speak it. But we're trying to reach those people, and we pass out gospel tracts in Spanish. But what do you do when there's a place without a real church? What do you do when there's a place that's not winning the people to Christ? And God says, go. And I'm going to tell you, like I said a while ago, I had 26 years of my life was invested in Bartow. I knew the people. I knew the culture. It's a different group of people. Hey, it's a good old boy nature. It's similar to out far west. I've been to Montana and Wyoming and knocked doors out there too. But I want you to understand, those people have got to trust you. Right now we're trying to buy a building. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to happen. God's told me it's going to happen. He won't let me die, and he won't let me quit. I told him, I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you, if you don't show me something today, I was so discouraged that day. If you don't show me something today, I'm going to consider it a dead issue. You know who called me, preacher? I had a message on my phone when I got off work that day. Chan McMillan. And he sent out 55 letters to other preachers to get them involved in what we're doing in Bartow. If that isn't answer to prayer, I don't know what is. But I want you to understand, there are people. It breaks my heart to see these children and teenagers that are trusting everything and everybody but Jesus. So we're just going to... When I was younger, my wife will vouch for it. She's known me since I was 5. We went to kindergarten together, by the way. She knows how hard-headed I was when I was younger. She didn't want anything to do with me until after school, after high school. But the truth is, I was hard-headed, but I was hard-headed for the wrong things. But right now, I've got that hard head turned in the right direction, working for Jesus. Working for souls, working for eternity. Right now we've already got a sales contract signed. We've got a $5,000 deposit on the building. It's a kingdom hall. We're buying a kingdom hall. They probably don't have a more vocal adversary in Bartow than me. I mean, we buy tracts just for Jehovah's Witnesses to warn people about the cult. We tell them, when I get a chance to talk to them, I tell them, I said, my Jesus is not Michael the Archangel, which is what they believe. They believe an angel died on the cross. No, my Jesus died on the cross. He was never created. He's the creator of everything. But we're in the process of It's a great building. We've been in there. First time my wife and I were in there, we had the realtor lady is a member of the Jehovah's Witness congregation. And we got to talking about doctrine, and she got to shaking. I'm serious. And she said, well, when you buy the building, we'll talk about it. So I'm looking forward to talking about it. Amen. I want to see her get saved. The place has 2,000 square feet. All the furniture inside, they've got chairs, all about 150, 160 chairs in there. All that goes with it, table. There's a few of their signs that I don't necessarily want to have. We might have a bonfire out back or something. But the bottom line is, the Lord's just doing something special. And I appreciate you guys because you've been praying for us. You've been supporting us. You've preacher and the radio station's been kind enough to give us ads on the radio station all this time. And it really makes a difference. We've got young people coming, teenagers coming now. I'm excited. I'm excited. Talking to a girl on my bus from Bartow. And I'm trying to pick her mind because she's Hispanic, and we've got a lot next to the church. And I'm trying to figure out a way to reach the Hispanic kids. They got more soccer kids in Bartow than I think they do kids almost. It seems like they come from everywhere. Well, we got a burden, and that burden's for Bartow. Not just Bartow, but Fort Meade. The Lord's putting us a little closer to Fort Meade. There's no good church in Fort Meade right now reaching people either. So if you would, just pray for us. God's been good, and I'm just looking forward. I'm blown away that he's, here we are 4.5 years old, and he's opening up a door for us to buy a building. But he's doing it. He's putting it together. And all the glory goes to Jesus.
I'm excited with him. I believe it's going to happen. God might have a little bit of a sense of humor to take a building that is taught wrong about the Lord Jesus and then put the truth in it and make a New Testament Baptist church out of it. Amen? You pray about that. It is a building as far as a physical building. It's in good shape. It's furnished. And they'll just be able to move in there and go to work immediately. Like he said, have a bonfire back for some of the heresy stuff it needs to get rid of. But that's great. The location is good. I believe, if I understand it right, it's leaving Bartow, not out of the city limits, but pointing toward Fort Meade, so it wouldn't be that far for somebody to drive from both cities to the building. So, well, great. Amen. Well, the Lord's in it. I believe he is. I want the ushers to come forward and dump out the plates here, whatever the regular offering was tonight. I want to pass some empty plates, and I want to see if we can come anywhere close to filling them up tonight. We got to help him get the down payment up. Now, the bank is like this, if you've ever dealt with a bank. They'll loan the money, but they want to see that you've already got some of your money in it. And so that's what they're doing, and so we're trying to help Brother Gentry get up the down payment. And so do what you can tonight. Maybe you can write a check. Maybe if you can't tonight, you can do so Sunday. And what you do on the stub of the check is write Bartow Church or New Church being started, whatever, to identify it so the bookkeeping can pull it out and separate it out. They've had the building up for sale a good while, and Brother Gentry has been trying hard to get all the red tape done to try to get a loan. And so the thought was maybe the building will sell before you'll be able to tie it up. So I've asked several folks to pray that they can't sell the building to nobody else. And I just believe the Lord will do that. Amen. All right, let's stand. And ushers, just go ahead and pass the plates. Let's do what we can tonight. And again, we'll report to you as we are able to concerning this project. And I just believe God is in it. I'm excited about what is going to happen. Brother Brian, as you heard him tonight, he is a soul winner. He knows every soul he meets needs the Lord. And he's quick to be a witness. The Chick tracks are some of the most powerful tracks that's ever been invented to get out and get people's attention. And they have given out a pile of them. Thank God for the man in Lakeland that has been paying for them. I don't know what they cost now. They used to cost close to a nickel a piece, and probably they still do. Maybe even more now, I don't know. But they are good ones. And in some cases, like he said, they're almost tailor-made to the group that you're giving them to. So God uses them in a special way. All right, I'm sure that Brother Hector is going to want choir practice tonight.
No, sir.
Yeah?
No, sir.
No? Boy, I never can read you. You throw me a curve like that. I figured with a cantata coming, he was wanting to practice till midnight tonight.
We did last week.
Huh?
We did last week.
Last week. All right. I stand corrected again. Amen. God bless you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Let's be dismissed.